that you're able to make it. You know, here at ECC, we're all about turning people into fully devoted followers of Christ. And we just, you know, have this time to just do that in several ways, through worship, you know, through the word, through their sermon, through prayer. And so I just pray that, yeah, we can all just come, prepare our hearts, and just be ready to worship the Lord this morning. So if you can just join me in a word of prayer, we'll just get right started. Heavenly Father God, I just want to give you thanks for today. Just give you thanks for this space, for this time that we just come before you and just worship you for who you are, God, that you are worthy of all our praise and all our worship. And yeah, we just pray that we can be just humbled by the love that you show to each of us. Yeah, God, we just pray that we can just surrender this time, just surrender ourselves and lay aside our burdens, that we can just worship you with everything and with all our hearts. So we just pray that we can just encounter you today, God. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
I invite you all to rise as we coming out of Easter, and you know, we focused a lot on the cross and what Jesus did for us, and we want to continue to carry that, regardless if it's not April anymore, into all aspects of our lives. So our first song, we're just going to reflect again on the reason why we're here, the reason why we have hope, and why we have reconciliation with the Father. So, you know, I encourage you to just reflect on the words and rededicate yourself over and over again. You know, pick up that cross just as Jesus did for us over and over again, and freely accept his gift of grace and mercy.
The Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Final breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified, We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is
the next song we're going to sing is a song called Here It Is. And it's a song that I've been listening to for a while. Something that God has been challenging me with lately has been, and we were reminded of it last week, of the question of where does our identity come from? Where does our sense of worth, where does our sense of validation come from? Is it in the work that we do? Is it in the grades that we get? Is it the achievements of our children or the relationships that we have? And what God has been put on our heart is that it's the identity that we are made in His image. It's the identity that He has died for our sins. He died on the cross so that we could have a relationship with Him. That the things that we achieve in this world don't last, but the people that we bring to Him, that's what has value, that's what has worth. And whatever the things that we prioritize in this life, the things that we hold value, the meaning of this song is really to bring that before Him. Bring that at His feet. And what do we offer Him in worship? What can we give to Him that has value, that has worth? It really is just of ourselves. What are we willing to surrender to Him? And so that's what this song is about. And as you get the hang of it, feel free to join in.
To bring an offering, but I don't know where to start. All I have is on the table. I won't hold back a single part. Sometimes I cannot find the language. Sometimes I'm at a loss for words. And I just want to give you something to let you know that you'll still feel. And I worship you. is full of many seasons. I felt the shadow and the sun. Through the feast and through the famine, this is my song in my
crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to keep going with our time of worship, just with some announcements, just so that everyone knows what are the needs of the church, really, and how are the different ways that God has continued just to be faithful to us. And I guess the first thing I want to mention is, I think there's further details in your bulletin, but there is a conference. It's free. It's the 2023 Canadian Sexual Exploitation Summit. It's happening May 3rd to 5th, and again, it's completely free. Especially if this is an issue that you're passionate about, that touches your heart, I would definitely encourage you to go. They bring across like 50 different experts from various fields and just, I guess, teaching us different ways in which different sectors can have an impact against this issue. And so if you do go, let Pastor Brandon know. He'd love to have a bit of a debrief with you afterwards as well. And then there's are a few programs that are going to be on hold for a little bit. You know, we've had the pleasure of having our adults Sunday school that meets to 9:30 every morning. You know, we've had a very good few sessions, lots of good turnout, but it will be on hold until further notice. But definitely when it comes back, I encourage all of you to join. Definitely a good time. Very useful for myself, at least, as well. And then our children's program as well is going to be on pause this coming, I guess, next Sunday. And it will resume on April 30th, and just to give our leaders a bit of a break, as many of them are going through finals season right now. And then in terms of, you know, serving opportunities, both VBS and David Camp are in need of leaders. So, you know, if you or you know someone who might be interested in leading, definitely email the addresses in the bulletin. I think it's just vbs@ecac and david.camp.ecac@gmail.com are the two emails. And they hopefully, if you can respond by April 30th, that would be great, just for them to get some planning ahead. With that, I just want to take this time also just to pray for our offering. Again, many different ways in which you can give, but let's just pray for that and just pray for the word and the sermon that we're about to receive as well. So Heavenly Father God, again, give you thanks for this time of worship, and just thank you for the time of praise that we're able to have. And right now we just want to continue to, you know, give and to worship you with our offering, God. I just pray that, yeah, we'd be able to give joyfully and, yeah, just as a exercise and way to meet, to just tell you, God, that, yeah, we don't need anything else apart from you, God, that everything that you have given us belongs to you. So we just want to pray for that, and we want to pray for Pastor Tim as well as we're about to receive the message. May you just speak powerfully through him. And yeah, I just pray that the living word will just touch each one of our hearts. And just pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. If we haven't met yet, my name's Tim. I'm one of the English pastors here at Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church. And yeah, it's so good to see you all on this beautiful day. I remember about, maybe it was like a month ago, probably a bit over a month ago. It was still like super wintry, right? Like it is most of the time in Edmonton. And it was snowy and it was cold and it wasn't as nice as it is now. But I was in my office and I heard something and it gave me hope. I heard geese. You know what? It's winter and you hear geese and you're like, there's hope. There's hope. It's coming. Spring is coming. And even though it was still cold and wintry, I had this great hope. I think I texted Zoe. I was excited. I was like, spring is coming. And even though spring had not come yet, that little sign of the geese flying north is a sign to us of what is to come. And it's like we can put our faith in it because we see this sign in the present, if that makes sense. That's kind of what we're going to be getting into, this idea of faith. So we, for the past, since the new year, we worked through a series on the book of Colossians. And it was a beautiful series, I think, where we could recenter ourselves on Jesus. And then we took a break for Palm Sunday and Easter. And now we're launching a new sermon series that'll go on up until the summer. And it's a series that all the pastors, we got together and we prayed, God, where are you leading us? What do you want us to share with our congregations? Where are you guiding us? And this is what we came up with as we were listening to the Lord, this theme of risking spirit-filled growth together. And here in the EMC, we're calling this series One Step. And we want to look at it in a sense, we use that word risking in the sense that it can feel like a risk to step into the unknown. Maybe you know this personally. Maybe God has called you to something and you don't know what the future holds if you're going to take that step. So together as a community, as we're working through this series, we want to encourage one another to take that step. Take that step, trusting in God, keeping our faith in God, and taking steps of faith with Him. Sometimes in our journey of faith, we have to take these steps into the unknown. And sometimes that takes work. And hopefully this series will help to actually equip you in taking those steps. Sometimes it takes equipping or training, depending what God is calling you to. And maybe when we look at this unknown, stepping into this unknown, you're going to say, well, if I listen to God, that's going to cost me something. And sometimes taking those steps of faith, it does cost us something. Sometimes we're changed by it. We're transformed by it. Maybe it costs you some material thing and you have to take that step. But I want to encourage us, even as we look at this, even if it seems risky, even if God is calling you somewhere and it seems like, oh, this is going to cost me, that it's not a cost, it's not a burden, but it is a great gain. That we actually step closer into a relationship with God where we get to worship and know Him more. It's not a burden, but it's a great honor actually to take these steps of faith. So what we're going to do for this series is we're going to be just in one chapter of the Bible. We're going to be in the chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. And that's kind of a classic chapter of faith. And basically what the author does in Hebrews chapter 11 is he lists a bunch of Old Testament characters. You'll probably be familiar with some of them. And he lists all these characters and explains that they are people of faith. So we're going to do a bunch of character studies every week, and we're going to learn from these people of faith. And you're going to learn so much, and it's going to be very interesting. And you'll notice that these people we're looking at, these characters we're studying, were very, very not always great people. They made a lot of mistakes. They pushed God away. They sinned a lot. But yet they are recognized for their faith. And we're going to learn a lot about what faith means in the Bible. So we're excited to be journeying through all of these character studies with you all. So there we go. So before we dive into Hebrews 11 and dive into all the character studies, today I'm going to introduce this topic of faith. And we're going to start with the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11 and just kind of looking a bit closer at what is faith and just kind of introducing this topic. But first I'll explain, maybe some of you are like, what the heck is the book of Hebrews? So I'll explain that a little bit. It's a book in our New Testament, in our Bible, and we actually don't know who wrote this book. We're not sure. We also don't know exactly who they're writing to, like if they're writing to a specific city or a specific group of people, we're not sure. But we know that the group the author is writing to is clearly a group of Christians who were originally Jewish, became Christian, and they've been Christian for a while, and they're starting to go back to Judaism. They're leaving Christianity, and that's who he's writing to. That's who this author is writing to. So that's kind of the context of this book of Hebrews. So really, the book of Hebrews is this beautiful book that describes that Jesus is superior to all things. And he's kind of making an argument, like he's arguing and explaining how Jesus is greater than all things, and he explains how he's greater than all the things that would have been relevant to them from their Jewish culture, from our Old Testament. He says, Jesus is greater than the angels. He says, Jesus has fulfilled the law. He's greater than Moses. His new creation is better than the promised land. Jesus is greater than the priests. In fact, Jesus is our high priest. That means he connects us with God. Jesus' new covenant is greater than the old covenant, because in the old covenant, your Old Testament, you had to make animal sacrifices, and the author of Hebrews says that didn't work. You actually need Jesus to be your sacrifice, and that's what we came to observe last week at Good Friday, that Jesus was our sacrificial lamb that covered our sins, that gave us life. So the author is just kind of going through all of these arguments that we need Jesus. And again, just to simply summarize, he's saying Jesus is God's word. He's God's revelation. And we have hope for the new creation that he's bringing. Jesus is our eternal high priest. He's our perfect sacrifice. And because of all these things, he works through this whole argument. Because of these things, because Jesus is greater, because Jesus is the answer, you need to have faith in him. You need to have faith in Jesus. And that's what the book of Hebrews kind of talks about. So I'll start by reading out our three verses that we're going to be looking at today. It says this, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So what is seen was not made out of what was visible." The word of the Lord. So faith. And here, I wouldn't say that he's the author here is giving an exhaustive, perfect definition of faith. I don't think that's his purpose here. I think he's characterizing faith. He's trying to characterize what a life of faith looks like. So here he's talking about something that we hope for, something we do not see. And if you look back the chapter before this, chapter 10, he's talking about this like future, this future kingdom come, about Jesus returning. So what is that? I think that's important to look at. So that, we're going to get into that in a second. But faith is in Jesus. That's the object of our faith. Like, faith is how we are saved. Ephesians 2 talks about this. We're saved through our faith by Christ's grace, because he did all the work, right? He died for us. He rose again. He offers that gift to us, that gift of salvation. So he is the object of our faith. We put our faith in him. We trust in his promises. And because we trust in his promises, we have to look at what are his promises? What is this future thing we're looking forward to as a church? Because here in the Bible, it's not like we're just vaguely optimistic for the future. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like that. It's something more specific. Throughout Hebrews and throughout the whole Bible, it talks about this eternal promise, this future thing that is to come. And culture kind of, I feel like we have this like cultural lens of like what the future is, and we just kind of picture like heaven where we're just floating in clouds and eating cream cheese and stuff, you know, all that good stuff. But that's not really the picture that the Bible paints. It paints a much more beautiful picture of the future. It paints a new creation, a redeemed creation. And it's something much better, much more beautiful, where Jesus returns and he brings his victory and he makes all things new. And he fully brings his presence. He is completely with us. We don't even need the sun, because God is so with us that he is our light. It's this beautiful creation where there is no more pain, there is no more tears, and this is his promise. This beautiful, redeemed, and eternal promise. This is the future. And maybe you're hearing these promises from the Bible, and you're thinking, okay, Christ's kingdom will fully come, he will return, we will have his presence fully, and you're thinking, that's exciting, but we already have some of that right now, don't we? Like, we have his Holy Spirit. He is present with us in a way right now. We see and we pray, would your kingdom come? And you're going to see, as we further delve into what this author is talking about, especially here in verse 1, that there's, of course, a future aspect of what we hope for, but that future hope is already partially realized today. So we're going to get into that further, and hopefully it'll make more sense. So this word here, confidence, where it says now faith is confidence, is this word in the middle. It's the Greek word. This was written in Greek. Hypostasis, pretty cool word. And it can be translated into a lot of different words. Maybe you know this. I'm sure many of you speak more than one language. You can't always find a perfect word-for-word translation. Like, sometimes a word in one language, we don't have the exact word, and it kind of means several words in another language. And that's the case here, that we don't have a perfect word for this word. So what does this word confidence mean? And all these words I have around here is a good translation for this word. And there's even more than this. It's kind of a difficult word to translate. And I think it's an important one if we're characterizing faith. But I don't think this is a problem. I actually think it paints a beautiful picture of what the author is trying to convey. What is faith? So it says that in faith we have the confidence in what we hope for. So we can kind of add these different words here. We have the confidence in what we hope for. We have, it's more than a confidence, because we have the assurance in what we hope for. Like, it's not just like we're vaguely confident, but we are assured. We know when we have faith that what we hope for will come. But then there's another word here that I think is interesting, and that's realization. In faith, we have the realization in what we hope for. Do you see how that changes the meaning of this? And it's not contradictory at all. I think it's painting a picture that we hope and we are assured and we know that God's kingdom will come fully, but also today we are realizing it and experiencing that his kingdom is already breaking into our world. And it already broke into the world through the resurrected Jesus, as we celebrated last week, that the stone was rolled away, that he rose from the dead. So it's a future reality that we hope for and we know will come. And yet in the presence, we are already tasting this reality in part. It's this interesting thing that we know, because of the promises of the Bible, that he is faithful, that he is true to his promises. And we know as well, it's a reason thing, but it's also, we know that what's to come will come because, well, I've already experienced God's presence here. I've already experienced his kingdom free me. I've experienced his goodness today. And because I've had a taste of that, I know with even more assurance that it will come. So through faith, we are assured that his promises will come, but we realize that today. So I'm gonna teach you a theology term that'll kind of help you understand this. We call it already, not yet. That's the term, already, not yet. Sounds like a contradiction. But the idea here is we live in an interesting time as Christians where we kind of live in this time of tension because Jesus, he came to earth, he lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he sent out his Holy Spirit. Jesus already won the victory. So we live in this victory of Jesus. It's available to us today. So we already have it. We already have his kingdom come. And yet it's still a future event as well. We don't yet have it. So we live in this tension where we already have it, at least in part, and yet we look forward to all these things coming in a more full sense, where we fully have his presence, we fully experience his kingdom and his victory. So that's our theology term for the day, already, not yet, where we live in this beautiful tension. And I think this is encouraging for us, that it's something that we can look forward to and hope for, but it's something that we're experiencing today. That through faith, it's not just we're hoping for something in the future, but through faith we're experiencing our God and his freedom and his victory and his love. So we have that today. It's not just a future thing. We have it partly today, and we'll know it more fully in the future when he returns. It's this interesting picture, I think, of a characterization of faith. So hopefully that's making sense. And the author keeps going in verse 2 here. He says, this is what the ancients were commended for. And this is what we're really going to get into in the coming weeks. As we do character studies, we're going to be looking, of course, he's talking about the ancients, he's talking about Old Testament people, and we're going to be looking at these people and studying them, and what are they commended for? What is this faith that they're commended for, this hope and this trust in God? So we're really excited for that, to keep working through all of these character studies in the coming weeks. And then verse 3 here, it says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So the world around us, the physical world, creation, material world, was created by God through Jesus. Hebrews 1 even talks about this. And I think the argument that the author is making in this verse is an idea that even though we didn't see God create all things, right? It's like that's not the visible, that's the invisible. Like, I don't know about you, I wasn't there at the creation of the world. I didn't see it. But even though I didn't see the invisible, I have trust and I have faith that God was the creator. And I think we can apply this argument to understand it in a different way as well. Imagine God asks you to do something, but you can't see the result. Like, you only see what is visible, you don't see the invisible. And you're scared, you're worried. You only see the visible things and you're saying, God, I don't know if that makes sense. Because you don't see what he sees. Can you have faith to take that step nonetheless? Do you trust him? Even though you don't see what he sees, do you trust him to take that step? Can you walk with God even when you don't see what he is doing? Even when you don't quite understand? Can you follow his message of hope, his message of love, even when things seem dark? Can you follow him when you don't quite get it yet? A few years ago now, Zoe and I, we were still students. We were in school, and it was probably like January of the year. And around then, as a student, you got to kind of start looking for summer jobs. So that's what I was doing, and I was looking for jobs, who's hiring, and I was praying about it. I've done a lot of summer ministries, so I was praying about it. God, is there something specific you want for me this summer? Where are you leading me? And I felt him say, I don't want you to work. I want you to do school. And that was kind of scary. I was like, I kind of need to work. You know, students, they need some money. They need to work. And I didn't really want to do school that summer. And I was like, I don't really understand this, but I kept praying about it. And I really felt God is telling me not to work this summer. So one day I told Zoe, I was like, I don't know why, I don't understand, but God's telling me not to work this summer. I'm just going to do school. And she was like, God told me the same thing. And we were like, oh, good, good. And we didn't understand. We were like, that does not make sense. We did not see the invisible. We did not understand what God was telling us to do, but we took the step. We took that step. We said, God, you are clearly leading us here, and we trust that you will provide. And that was 2020, and I don't know if you know, but little later than that, in that year, there was a pandemic. I don't know if you remember that. And probably couldn't have gotten a summer job anyways, and there was funding, and it actually worked out that we could finish some more classes so we could graduate a little bit earlier. And it's just all worked out so well, but we didn't know it was going to work out like that. We had to take that step. That step of trust, that step of faith. And really, that's our hope for that series, is that we can be a people that trust our God, that have such strong faith in our God, that even when things don't quite make sense, when it seems dark, when it seems scary, we can take that step and know that he has our best interest in mind. So I want us to kind of conclude by just reflecting on faith. As I read Hebrews, and as I've been studying what the author is kind of telling us faith is, it's been interesting. I don't think that the Bible tells us to have blind faith. Like, we kind of mischaracterize it, I think, sometimes, this idea of blind faith, you know? But if you have blind faith, you could believe in anything, you know what I mean? But we as a church, we believe that we have really good reason to believe what we believe. It's not like we reject logic and reason to have faith. In fact, it's interesting, as you're going to see through the character studies, often he's saying when people take a step of faith, it begins with logic. Like you're going to see Abraham and Sarah, God challenges them to do something scary, hard, and it says that they reason. They remember, they think, well, God, you've always been faithful before. You've always been trustworthy before. I've experienced your goodness in my life. And they reason, and then they say, yeah, okay, I'll take that step. So it can actually begin with that logic, that reasoning, saying this makes sense because God is so faithful and he is so good. I think it's interesting even in 1 Corinthians 15, it's this important chapter in our Bible that talks about the resurrection of Jesus. And Paul, he's talking about the resurrection, and he doesn't say, just believe this because I say so. He lists a bunch of eyewitnesses. And I think that's an interesting thing. He's almost like, here's the people that saw it. They're still alive. Like, feel free to talk to them. It's not like this blind faith. So I think we actually have such good reason to believe what we believe, to actually have faith to take the step in God, both historically and biblically, and I think as well personally, as many of us have experienced his goodness, experienced his presence, experienced his freedom and his kingdom come. So if we have doubts or questions, I encourage you, ask those around you. Maybe ask your small group or a mentor or work through those things, but be responsible with them. Be responsible. Make sure you're actually doing good research. You're not just complaining or something. And make sure you actually come up with a decision. What do you decide? Will you have faith? Something else that I don't think faith is being perfect. We're really going to see that. Like, you're really going to see it. Hebrews 11 kind of stumps some scholars because it's like, how could this character be in this chapter about people who had good faith because they were an awful person? And it's like, it's this strange thing. Faith is not about perfection. Sometimes I think we try to impress God. Like, we think of him too much so like an earthly parent, right? It's like, oh, I have to get the right job. I have to go to the right school. I have to get the right grades. I don't think that's what faith is. Faith is not about perfection. I think it's more about these steps of faith, these steps into relationship, and these steps of obedience with God. Faith, it's not just this wishy-washy thing. Did you pick that up in verse 1? It's an assurance. It's an assurance. We know that God is with us because we can look back and we can see his faithfulness. And we can look today and we can say, I have encountered his presence. We know his goodness, of course, throughout history, throughout scripture. We see that he has always been faithful to his promises. And we look at those around us. Maybe during this series, you want to hear more testimonies from those around you. Maybe in your small group, you can share, why do you have faith? When things get hard, why do you trust in God? What do you remember? What do you think of? And you can encourage one another in that. What encourages you when things seem dark? And how do you keep your faith in Jesus? And we could hear the testimony of those around us, and I have no doubt we'll hear amazing, miraculous stories of God's working in all of our lives. And we can remember in our own lives. Remember your baptism, maybe. Remember your first commitments to Jesus. Remember these things when you feel challenged to take a step of faith. Faith is really just recognizing that God is faithful, that he is worthy of our trust, and it's taking that step of obedience and trust, knowing that he is good, that he is faithful. We don't just believe in a blind faith, but we have already tasted and seen what is to come more fully in the future. And of course, as we look forward to his kingdom come in the future, we again know that his kingdom is already breaking into our world through the resurrected Jesus. That's why we pray, maybe you know the Lord's Prayer, that line, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And his kingdom comes not only in us and around us, but it actually comes into the world through us. And that's part of these steps of faith actually as well, is how can you bring God's kingdom into the world as a disciple of Jesus? How can you be known for your love and your grace, your compassion? How can you stand up for the marginalized and love those around you? How can his kingdom come through us as a church? In faith, it's simply remembering that God is faithful. It's not so much what we do. We just say yes, and we take this step of obedience and of relationship. Church, we already have a foretaste of what we're hoping for. I've seen it even this last year that we have experienced God's goodness in such amazing ways. We've seen his kingdom come. We've seen life change and transformation, and we will be transformed fully one day in the future, but we're being transformed today as well. So church, as we work through this series of faith, this series of taking a step, maybe into the unknown, a step personally, maybe taking a step as a community, as a church, ask God, even today, even right now, ask him, where can I take a step of obedient faith with you? Where do you sense him leading you to? Sometimes it can seem scary, risky, it can seem unknown. Church, this series, as we work through this, let's take this step together, this step of trust and of faith, and let's risk this spirit-filled life together as a community. So we're not alone in this, and we're so excited to journey and ask God, where are you leading us as we follow him with full trust? So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that we can just rely on your promises and your goodness and that we know you. Would your kingdom come even today, and would we experience your goodness and your presence, and would you give us trust and faith to take this step wherever you lead us? Holy Spirit, would you come and would you guide us? Today, personally, for people in this room, would you reveal where you're leading them? And as a community, as a church, where are you leading us that we can take a step of trust and of faith, and experience your goodness and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So something we like to do here at ECAC is have some time for discussion so that you can actually reflect, you can remember, and you can get to know those around you as well. So how this works is we have some discussion questions up here, and basically just look around you, and whoever's around you, you can just form a little discussion group. And if you see someone sitting alone, make sure you invite them in. And so yeah, just look around you and just have discussion for about 10 minutes. I heard of someone like that recently too.
As the team prepares to get set up and everything, on a more practical note, like one very apparent element of faith is you know, our team is quite large here this morning. There's like 8 of us, and there was a lot of work that went into setting everything up, and you know, like the slides just naturally progress to the next one. I was thinking back to when we had transparencies, and someone like was dedicated to like sliding the words up so that we could all follow along. So I just want to take a moment to thank everyone that is involved in our audio and visual ministry, because it is such a crucial aspect of what happens on Sunday morning. Why don't we all stand and sing this final song?
Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
Let's try that again. Give me faith.
Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you to soften my heart and break my heart. I need you to open my eyes to see that you're shaping my life. All I surrender. you're good, and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my love.
I need you.
I need you.
Well, as a benediction to our service here today, I want to just pray over you from Ephesians chapter 3. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Amen and amen. Thank you all for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you all next week.